Hello and welcome to this podcast. I'm talking to two students from our Year 9 group who are undertaking project-based learning. And we're talking about how learning looks in the Web 2.0 environment and comparing that a little bit with what they experienced in previous years. And the boys are going to tell you a little about some of their experiences in the last month or so. I'm here with
Tanush
and Joe,
and we're talking about social networking and working online. My first question would be, what's your view on what parents think you're doing online when you're on the computer at home?
Well, half the time they think of us as we are just mucking around, probably just going on MSN or playing games.
Yeah, or like downloading music and listen to it, because that's sort of what they can hear, that's what they notice.
So do you have like the music on and the MSN on?
Yes, and the homework, sorry.
And the homework.
Yeah.
So, why are they worried?
Because they think if I listen to music, I can't do my homework. They don't realise that I can do my homework, listen to music, and be on MSN at the same time.
Yeah, so multitasking.
Yeah.
So they don't think you can multitask?
No.
So what are you actually really doing online, or have you been doing online in the past? But they think you're downloading and mucking around on Messenger, but what were you actually doing?
What I was basically doing over these couple of weeks was, I do listen to music, but at the same time I've been blogging and seeing if I've got any feedbacks, like on what teachers think of me, of my work, and how I'm pacing myself.
Well, for the beginning I go on and I do my stuff, I get it over the way.
Yeah.
Like I do my MSN, I like listen to music and that, and then I do my homework, so.
Why don't you go and actually out of the house and talk to those people that you're talking to on MSN?
Because some of them live like ages away.
So do you talk to people on MSN that you have real relationships with?
Yes.
Outside of MSN?
Yes.
Do you have anyone on MSN you have that you don't never actually met?
Yeah, I got a couple.
A couple? Mm. Why do you talk to strangers?
Well, they're not strangers. I've met them through other people, like some of my cousins' friends and that.
Okay. How you used to use a computer in, say, year 7 and 8, what kind of things did you do, first of all, in a classroom? What were the big activities you used to do when you were in a computer room?
Well, probably in a computer room, you'll probably get given a presentation and trying to impress teachers by making a presentation on PowerPoint, and like just to use Microsoft Word to show our research.
Yeah, just go on Wikipedia, type the information into Word, and then copy and paste into a PowerPoint and present it. Read off the PowerPoint.
Copy and pasting it.
Yeah.
So then you read the PowerPoint.
Yes.
Right.
So yeah, it wasn't useful.
So did you actually read Wikipedia?
Not really.
Sometimes.
What do you look for in Wikipedia?
Well, like whatever we had in research, so we'll just look at the first paragraph or so, like about the introduction.
Like if it answered the main question, then we'll use it.
Yeah.
How do you know if it answered it?
Because we read it.
Like just the introduction.
Just the introduction.
Yeah. So see, that was the part. We didn't know like what else other information was there. So you know, we probably
we used one source. We didn't think that other websites had the same information.
So if you were writing something in Word, and say you had to write 500 words, how many of those words would you be your own?
Probably around 100.
A fifth?
Around
a fifth of it.
Summarised and taken from.
Summarised.
To the other words.
So what's a summarised paragraph look like? I've got 20 words in a paragraph, what does summarising mean?
Changing it so it in its different context, the way I understand it, not the way it was said.
It was like using like a thesaurus on the word.
So, and then when you went home after school, what did you do with the computer?
When I went back to home after school, I'd like get on with my homework, trying to finish that off, like do my research and everything and have everything ready for the next day, plan my things out.
So when you say research, what does research mean?
Basically looking at the information that I'll be needing in my future. Like for,
how do you know what you're gonna do? Maybe you'll be a rocket scientist.
Oh yeah, maybe.
So you're researching that already.
Yeah. Nah, this jokes.
So when a teacher gives you something to do in the classroom, you know, what kind of tools, what did that look like? When you're in a computer room and you've been in there for like at least 2 years, before you were doing project-based learning, what was the daily routine? What kind of activities did you do?
Well, we used to get questions on the board and just answer those questions that were related to the topic we were doing.
So teachers would write up, they'd write on the board with a pen?
Yeah, yes. They'll write on the board and then we'll just go on a computer and just do our research.
So what kind of thing, give me an example, what do they write on the board?
Like find out what the Kyoto Protocol is. Like I remember Mr. Kuma did that once when we were in the computer room, and then during that lesson we just had to make a presentation and answer the questions.
Yeah.
Wow.
And then it was forgotten about the next day.
And it was forgotten about?
Yeah.
So when you did your presentation, you didn't do anything with it?
No.
No.
If the people that didn't present,
that's it.
Didn't present.
Yeah.
So like how often would you go in a computer room and some like teacher surprised you with doing something?
Not very.
Not often.
So would you say going to a computer room was like...
Like nothing surprising happened in year 7 and 8.
Did you think it was easy in year 7 and 8?
Easy, yeah. Easy because of the fact that all you're doing is copy and pasting.
So, and then at home when you got home after school, and so the homework that was using a computer was basically the same, of the same stuff?
Same stuff, yes.
So we were talking earlier and you were saying that you would used to spend about half an hour on the computer at night.
Yeah, I would.
Is that because your parents are like really stingy and they're like paying for bandwidth?
Yeah, at times they could be, yeah. Nah, because I like really didn't use the computer as much because I only use it for my research and that's basically it. And like my parents, they didn't quite like the fact of me working on the computer, you know, like at night at 10. So like they'd like probably get like a little serious.
Okay. And you were saying then two and a half hours. Two and a half hours.
Like
at
the most, yeah.
At the most. But only half of that time you were
doing school stuff, yeah.
The rest of the time what were you doing?
Well, talking to my friends on MSN or listening to music.
Right, so music and MSN I'm hearing is like the big preoccupation. Yeah. That's like
that's what everybody does because what we're into.
So I have parents that come up to me every now and again and they'll say, oh God, I can't get him off MSN, he's always on MSN, how can I block it, how can I get rid of it? So now you've started doing stuff in project-based learning and you're reading and writing to the internet. What do you see, I don't understand why you would now spend more time doing that than you would normally. Why is your half an hour or your 2 hours or your 1 hour where you were doing schoolwork, why has that increased or has it increased?
Yeah, it has, because now most of our projects involve IT, involve using computers, involve computer generated.
And at the same time, like we are also talking to our friends like on social networks, like such as we had an example of Ning for our Green Up 2145. Hey, we were talking to our friends at the same time we were doing our work and sharing our information around.
Yeah.
So, yeah, that was fun.
So at one point I put a little chat box on that social network, but then a couple of people put silly things on it and then we were politely asked to remove it. So, but what goes on in the background? I mean, I'm not a teenager, obviously, I'm very old. So you go home now, you've got this kind of like social network with 160 kids, you've got a project to deliver, and you go and get on the computer. So describe to me what that
looks like when you go home. What do you do? Do you put your bag down, open your book, and then type something, or how does it work?
No, I actually get quite excited these days when I get back home. First thing that I do is, because I know I had a lesson, so I've got to talk about my lesson and reflect back on it. So what I do is go home and I mind map. I mind map on what I've done so far and what are the things that I need to develop on. And after I've created my mind map, so I go on to put that in a blog. And after I've written blog, I go on helping out my friends to things that they might be struggling with.
Right. So you're actually not just getting on there and just writing off the top of your head. You're actually thinking about it before you do. Did you do the same?
No, you've got
a different approach.
Yes, like when I go on the computer first, I log on to MSN, then depending who's on, I have a conversation, and then that conversation leads to schoolwork most of the time. And then from there, I go and do my homework. Like, I ask my friends, what have you done for this project? And he would say this, and I'll get an idea from that. Then I'll build on that idea to go.
So you are actually using one social network, which is about writing, which is obviously a bit schooly. And you're also using MSN.
Yes.
As a secondary thing. Why then would you advocate banning MSN in schools or leaving it?
I reckon they should leave it. They should leave it because of the simple fact that people, like our students, can get around each other and like communicate well. Because see, if one person's away, right, and they're at home, we can communicate with them in a sense. It's like all of us teenagers, like most of us, like usually come on MSN like daily. Right, so we can send them messages, and depending on things that were conducted in the class today, so they don't feel missed out on any information or work that was conducted during the lesson.
So you think if you have 2 hour lessons, so if you have MSN open during a lesson,
yeah,
how's that going to affect the classroom? The teacher's going to freak out.
Yeah,
because
they're going to see that thing come up on the page and people chatting away, and then they're going to say you're not learning and you're not working. So MSN is actually something you can use to work and learn with.
Yes.
Yeah.
But how would you switch from social to learning? Or don't you? Do you mix it up?
Well, I think it starts from learning, then it goes to social. So it starts off with schoolwork, because we just came back from school, then from that it drags to things we're going to do, like on the weekend, and what we're going to do this afternoon.
How aware do you think you are, your parents? How much do they understand about what you're telling me you're doing here? When you sit down in your bedroom and you get on that computer, do you think they understand what you're doing?
Not all the time, no.
Do you show them what you're doing?
Yeah, I have. I've showed them at times, like suppose when I get comments from teachers, like saying the areas that I've developed on, things that I'm doing bad or I'm doing good. Yeah, I show them like the comments that I've received, and from there on, my parents, they actually guide me to how to improve on things.
They're actually helping you. Oh, okay. Why don't they jump online and help you? Why don't parents comment?
Because they don't know how to use it. They don't know what it's for. They don't know who's going to read it. They're not used to it. Yeah.
So do you think it's actually, because obviously now you're not writing in textbooks, but you're going home and you're working in digital worlds. Do you think, did your parents talk about concerns they had when that's taken place? Because you were saying like they're worried initially about how much time you might spend using Messenger, but it seems to me like now you're spending more time using that type of stuff. How do you convince them that you're not just spending more time chatting and actually you're spending more time learning?
I don't bother.
Neither do I.
You don't really bother?
No.
You just sort of get on with it?
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, unless like they've got like some special query, like special things on their mind that they want to ask me. If they do ask me, then yeah, I do show them my work that I've conducted.
Yeah.
But otherwise, no, I don't bother.
So we're talking about writing in a big community of 100 odd people. Like, what did you think when you saw a comment from someone who wasn't in the school?
For my blog comment, I got a, or for my blog post, I got a comment from a member from the Greens party in Victoria, and I was like, whoa, like.
But did you think maybe that wasn't someone from the Greens party, but that was Scary Bob, the weirdo that wants to abduct you? Did that worry you?
No, I didn't think of that. No. That didn't worry me. I just saw, hello, I'm a.
Yeah, actually, yeah, I received a comment from a couple of teachers from America, like one of the guys, his name was Jeff.
Yeah.
And I mean, he contacted me pretty well. We basically had a chat about how the project's gone on and the effects that the social networking has had on me, as like how much time I'm actually spending on actually studying stuff and learning more content. So I mean, yeah, it's like pretty cool. Yeah.
But were you concerned about having people from like not your classroom teacher, did that put some pressure on you, or do you think it made anyone concerned? Or
yeah, it did.
As a cohort, how did they feel about that?
Yeah, well, it did kind of put like a little pressure on me, because I knew like my stuff had to be good, because the fact that other people looking at my work, it had to be good. At the same time, I reckon probably my parents, they got a little worried because of the fact that they didn't know who other people were who were conducting us.
So that's probably something the school needs to work on.
Yeah. Who is allowed to view our work or not.
Yeah. They were all, they're all people that I know quite well from education, so they're all vetted before they're allowed in. Mm-hmm. And every one of them that put comments on to you also sent me the comment and said, this is what I want to say, before they said it to you. So it was. When you were getting feedback online, do you think that some of the students were acting differently online than they would do in the classroom?
Yes, like tons.
Yeah, like, heaps of them. Because of the fact, you know, when we got given feedback from other teachers, it encouraged us to like reach great heights. At the same time, it motivated us to like write greater things.
Mm-hmm.
So because we knew that our work was being looked at, because it wasn't just like as though, oh, we're just writing this for no reason, you know, we're just going to write this, like no one's going to ever have a look at it. So by the fact that teachers were looking at it and commenting, I mean, yeah.
But I was commenting, and I don't teach geography or English.
Yeah.
But I like to comment. So did people like go, what's he commenting for? He's just the computer nerd.
Nah, but it didn't matter who commented, but even if it was like student commented to other student and like saying some positive feedback, and then maybe a little feedback on things that went wrong, right, and how they could be developed. I mean, that was for me, that was a motivational part. I mean, that like really motivated me to like write greater things.
So what was this thing I kept reading about, a super group? What was all that about?
Oh, well, when Mr. Bookie showed us the group list, and I saw the people that were in it, I started to say, oh, what a super group. Because usually in groups we have people
abilities. As in, that's a great group. Yeah. Not as in, like you say, super group, elite commando force.
No, like, our usual groups were like people of different abilities, but this one was everyone was high standard, and I sort of got jealous.
High standard. So you're so you're critical of, or you're aware of standards in your own groups?
Yes, we are.
Everybody is.
You're really aware. Oh, okay. So when you're writing, say, online and you're in this group, which section of that little society that we're all in, who benefits the most?
I reckon ourselves. Because
I reckon the people with lower standards, because they're looking, oh, these people are getting praised because they're doing good work, and so they're like.
But are they just copying your work?
No. Yes. See, because if the work was copied, right? Because it probably happened like once or twice, but see, everyone knew here because teachers were so often coming on that students know that their work's been looked at, and if they copied someone else, like teachers knew. Because teachers had looked at the blogs from before. So teachers knew, oh, this part has been written before. So, you know, leave a comment there.
That actually happened to me. I read someone's blog and it was just a copy and paste of my blog. Exactly.
So, what did you do about it?
Oh, it was after the project, so I didn't do anything. I think I mentioned it to Miss Gressa once, but I didn't take it as a big thing, because that person was obviously going to be found out because I had my name on it.
Yeah, so they actually copied your name too.
Yeah.
Oh, I love a dumb criminal. So, who are the people you think that or are there any people that in the group, because you're obviously out talking to all the peer group in the year, and I'm just the outside teacher here, but how do you think there's people in there that actually are worse off by taking not all of your work, but taking a proportion of your writing and work by putting that out into a public internet space? Do you think there are some students there that are disadvantaged by it? Are there any disadvantages? What are the downsides?
Yeah, there is, because they don't do their own work. They think, oh, this guy's gonna do the work, so I might as well copy off him.
Yeah, so like dumping all the work, like copying and pasting from like work from a guy who is smaller, and yeah.
Wouldn't they just copy and paste from Wikipedia anyway?
No, because these days the teachers are more aware of like the language that students write in their class.
But you still think that people are leeching off you?
Yeah.
But do you mind?
Not really. There are, at times, you do get a bit cranky by the fact that, you know, it's your work and then someone else is taking credit for it. That just comes in at times.
I think it's sort of a compliment, like, oh, you want to use my work and check out your work.
But say we were talking right at the beginning, before we started this tape running, we were talking about when you first started blogging, you're all blogging on your own with WordPress or EduBlogs, and you all had your own space. And then, did you get comments?
No.
Like once in my whole time of WordPress, I got like one comment.
One comment from who?
From Mr. Morris, but I actually got a lot of comments from people in India.
People in India?
Yes. I didn't know. Like tons of comments, and they were
swearing at Joe, basically because he posted up a picture of Jesus with a cigarette in his hand.
Unaware of what happened.
Yeah.
Ah, so that's audience.
Yeah.
So do you think now you're a bit more aware of your audience?
Yeah, aware of what I post. And some comments were like, oh, I used to visit your page every day and that. And read, but once I saw this, I got really angry. Now I don't visit your page anyway.
Like, oh, right.
I realise that people actually wait for me to post something up to read it.
So what makes, putting something together where you're all working together, what makes it sticky? What makes you want to come back to that virtual classroom, if you like? Why do you bother with it? Because it's a bit...
Well, I don't think anyone does it because they want to. Just like teacher says, homework is do this journal or do this blog. I know some people like Tinoch that do it not for like fun, like regularly.
Now you're scaring me. Now you're actually suggesting that perhaps homework can be fun.
Yeah.
You're surely not.
I don't log for fun, but I know some people that do it. And yeah, it's surprising because in like in year 7 and 8, they weren't into their learning. They weren't.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, it's just like for me, homework these days have become like really fun. Like blogging on Ning and like, you know, going up there and seeing all the comments that I've been getting. So yeah, it's fun.
So it's, yeah. But... What don't you like about working online and stuff? Are there some absolute downsides to it?
Being on the computer too much, you get sick of it, you don't want to do it every day, you don't feel motivated, you just feel like now you have to do it.
So as a youth in the computer generation, you're actually saying you can get sick of computers?
Yes.
Yeah.
But don't people your age spend, well, given half a chance, will spend 14 hours straight on a PlayStation?
Oh, I don't.
No, you don't?
No.
I know some people that do.
So is that another one of those myths, you think?
Yeah.
Yeah. It's it's sort of stereotyping. Like you see on the like media, this kid spent this much time on the computer, this kid went crazy over a game, and then parents think, oh, is that what my child's doing?
Yeah. So if you could change what you were doing right now, well, obviously you're probably the only people that can force the change. If you could change like the way that you would work on projects, what things would you change? Would you have less computing, more complicated computing, more mobile phones in the classroom, more messenger?
Yeah, introducing new things that... Because I reckon teenagers get bored really easy of things.
Yeah.
And we're like moving on.
Yeah. Like suppose if you use Link for one project, like maybe come up with some other social site.
Or using a different program like...
But did you like Ning because it was called Ning, which is... would it matter whether it was called Ning or Facebook or MySpace or Bieber? Was it the fact that you were writing and getting comments?
Yeah.
Was that the thing that attracted you to it? Or was it the fact that you had this like computer network you were playing with? Was it the bling and the photos and the videos that you were interested in more? Was it actually this horrible thought that perhaps as teenagers you may actually be interested in writing?
I reckon it's probably kind of a mix. It was a mix for me certainly, because I really liked, you know, like how we could change our background, we could add photographs, videos, and all those stuff when they come in. That actually that encouraged me to like write on my blogs.
Yeah. I think most people used it because they were familiar with it. Like in year 7 and 8, I reckon nearly everyone had a Bebo or a MySpace, and this thing is something like that. So we got to put our skills and our knowledge from Bebo and MySpace and other social networks into school and show off our talents.
So if you were to go, say for example, I got 50 teachers from schools around Sydney and put them all in a room and you had to give them 3 pieces of advice about using computers, what do you think they would be?
Don't overpush it, don't depend on it, don't use it a lot.
Yeah.
Like use it regularly, use it as a tool, but don't depend on it to teach your student.
Yeah, and another fact, like on internet, not everything is right, not everything is like truth, because there are some sites out there which have false information on there.
You talked earlier about when you were in year 7 and what you actually did on an average day in a computer room. Do you think that what we're doing here is too freaky, or do you think it's...
Like I just said, they tried new programs and software which are out there, because certainly like students like us, we are encouraged to do new things.
I think it's good. It's not freaky, it's actually good, like Photoshop. I use Photoshop a lot now just for personal stuff, like making a wallpaper for like my favorite footy team or something. So we can take what we learn in the classroom and have fun with it.
Well, I mean, currently you're doing a Flash project.
Yeah.
Like, how's that been so far?
It's all right.
I was there the first couple of days, and people seem to be having total meltdowns about how hard it was.
Yeah, everything at start is hard, but as the days go on, you start to develop more knowledge and information about the software, and so you get more familiar with it. So, yeah. That's been all right. Yeah.
You're quite happy to take on any kind of challenge, really?
Yeah, certainly.
Just as long as you're not using computers all the time.
Yeah.
Yes.
And not blogging all the time.
Yes.
Okay, well, thank you very much.
That's all right.
And,
thanks.
Hopefully we'll be showing some of this in the parent night.
The PBL parent night next week, week 10.
Well, thank you. That was Tanuj and Joe from a ninth grade talking about using technology in the classroom. Thanks very much, guys.